In a world where information of all types is so readily available, people are looking for the answers to life's most important questions, yet the darkness never seems to lift. We at Lighthouse believe that what the world is looking for is actually a person, not an idea. That person is Christ Jesus, not the Jesus in a bottle that grants your wishes, or the Jesus that is powerlessly sitting back wishing he could be part of your life. I'm talking about the Christ Jesus of the Scripture, who is Almighty God. He who said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," and also said, "I am the light of the world." It is this Jesus that is only found through the narrow gate. It is he who has the power to dispel darkness. Join us now for the Light of the Word as we take a weekly expositional trip through the Scriptures. I'm your host, Pastor Eugene. So let's listen in to Pastor Jim as he opens the Epistle of James.
James chapter 3 in the first verse. Then we'll all stand and honor God with the reading of his word. James chapter 3 beginning in the first verse. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to also bridle his own whole body. If we put bits into the mouth of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder, whatever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird or reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. No human being can tame the tongue. It is a relentless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in his likeness. From the same mouth come blessings and cursings. My brothers, these things ought not to be. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. Father, oh Lord, I ask that you would be with us. Father, that you would lift up this message and speak through me. That in my weakness, Father, you would be strong. That in my weakness, Lord, your word would be proclaimed clearly, boldly, and direct, full of truth. Oh Lord, I thank you that you would use me, and ask, Lord, that you move the hearts of all who hear these words. In the name of Christ Jesus, I pray. Amen. There's several things I would like for us to see in this. Start with these first two verses. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers. Why does he say that not many should become teachers? He goes on to say that teachers are going to be judged with a greater strictness. But what is it about teaching that should cause us to beware? That should cause us to watch ourselves and to hesitate to jump into teaching? He says in verse 2, "For we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he's a perfect man." We stumble in many ways, and he's talking about the tongue. You know, as we've been going through here on James, we see where James is showing us and teaching us ways to look at our faith. He is teaching us how to stand and how to walk in such a way that people see Christ in us. And one of those things is the use of our tongue. And in teaching, we can use our tongue and our mouth to bring God's holy word. In God's holy word comes blessings. We can bring those blessings by teaching truth. We do not have to be great scholars. We need to study the Word of God and bring what it says and not what maybe we would like for it to say or what it doesn't say. But it gives the understanding that there is a stricter judgment that will fall on those who teach, especially the false teachers. Oh, friends, the false teachers are all around us. The false teachers bring a piece of truth wrapped in a lie. And when they do, they lead people astray. They teach people things that do not honor and glorify our holy God. They teach people things that honor man instead of God. And when we begin to honor man instead of God, we have gone astray. We have separated ourselves from God Himself. These lies come from Satan. Who is it that is encouraging you to want to teach, brothers and sisters? Is it God who is calling you to a very noble act within the church? Or is it your pride spurred on by the devil? We need to use great caution. Because if we do not, we will fall into the lies and teach them. We were made to make much of God, not much of ourselves. So with our tongue, we should be teaching those things that reveal how great He is. The thing is we don't have to make Him up. They're there. All we have to do is open our eyes, or maybe I should say have Him open our eyes, so that we can see. And when we see those things, we should be pouring them out and sharing who this great God is. It's a lot harder for those who lie because they have to use an imagination to come up with something that isn't God. When we who have the truth just go to it and allow God to move through us, we also see that teaching and using our tongue to tell of God comes with maturity, doesn't it? We shouldn't be teaching when we first come to know Christ. When we first come to know Christ, we should be sitting under good teaching and learning. But as we mature, we should share His Word. And maturing comes from hearing the Word of God. And once we mature, to show that maturity, we share truth. Yes, we teach truth to those around us. Verse 2, he says, "For we all stumble in many ways." You know, our tongue can destroy us, can't it? Have you ever been destroyed by your own tongue? Have you ever had something come flying out of your mouth and you cannot catch it and grab it and put it back? It's too late. I would guess for most people, if you are a parent, that has happened. Sadly enough, as parents, yes, sometimes things come out of our mouth that shouldn't. Harsh things. Sometimes we have that button, so to speak. You know the button I'm talking about? Somebody will say or do something just right, and we fire out with our tongue, and we destroy people, and we destroy ourselves. I think James is putting it nicely by saying, we stumble in many ways. With our tongue, we stumble in many ways. With our tongue, we say things that we should not have said. With our tongue, we repeat lies. With our tongue, we repeat gossip. We need to be careful, especially those of us who teach. If you have been called to teach, it is a noble thing. It is an important thing. It is a required thing. But people are watching. People are watching you as a teacher. And if you teach truth and live as if that truth had no bearing on your life, what example have you given? People are watching. They're listening. They're intentionally listening to the pastors, to the Sunday school teachers, to the Bible study teachers. They're intentionally listening to grow in God. And if we are stumbling with our words, and I don't mean stuttering with our words, I mean stumbling with our words and causing others to stumble, there's a great judgment that's going to fall on us. And that judgment, I believe, will be harsh. He goes on to say that if somebody can bridle their tongue, depending on your version, then they control their whole body. Goes on to say that that is a perfect person, a perfect man. How many perfect men have lived? One, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we all struggle with our tongue. We all struggle with sin. We do not bridle our body and control ourselves as we should. But as we mature, we should see a great improvement in that. Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 20 says this, "Surely there is not a righteous man on earth who does good and never sins." Surely, he says, everyone sins. There's no one who always does good and never sins. That includes us, doesn't it? It doesn't matter what church you go to. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter what nationality you are. It doesn't matter what the color of your skin is, the color of your hair, or in some cases, if you even have hair. What matters, and the only thing that matters, is the truth of God's word. And you and I are sinners. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 8. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. Brothers and sisters, I want the truth to be in me. Amen. I want the truth to be in you. So we recognize who we are. We recognize not only who we are, but that in who we are, we have a need, don't we? And we have a need for a Savior. We have a need for the Savior, Jesus Christ. Apart from Him, we can do nothing. So we recognize who we are by the truth, and we grow towards Him and in Him. James 1:26, if anyone thinks he is a religious and does not bridle his tongue, he deceives his heart. This person's religion is worthless. If we cannot use our mouth and our tongue for the glory of God and the truth and resist those hard things that come out of our mouths, James says that our religion is worthless. As he's been talking about the works, those works are worthless if we are constantly tearing people down with our mouth as we help them, as we do good works. So the first thing we see here in these first two verses is we all stumble. Next thing I see in the next couple of verses here is that the tongue can control us. Start with verse 3. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies. Look at ships also. Though they are so large, are driven by strong winds, and they are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. These two examples that he gives us are very large vessels, one being the horse. I think I read somewhere once that the average horse is between 800 and 1,000 pounds. That sounds about right. That's a lot of weight to be controlling, isn't it? But yet with a bridle and with the bit, the horse goes where it's directed. Same thing with the ship. The rudder is the small piece in the back that moves the water and the current, and it directs the ship. So the tongue does also. Verse 5 says, so also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. Our tongue is not as big as our hands, is it? Our arms, our legs, our feet, these other extremities, these other parts of the body. And yet, the tongue can do such great damage. The tongue can tear down. The tongue can start fires. Matthew 12, beginning in the 36th verse. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give an account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. By your words, just like your actions, people will see what God already knows, whose you really are. I'm constantly amazed at people who call themselves Christians. You would think after a while I would get used to it, but I don't. They call themselves Christians, and yet the harshest, most foul things come out of their mouth. Can we not bridle our tongue? Can we not direct ourselves so that our tongue is under control? If we can control a horse and we can control a ship, and of course we know that what is it that controls the direction of an airplane even? It is the rudder, isn't it? A small piece. Oh, but our tongue runs wild. And the real issue with what is coming out of our mouths, what is coming out of our tongue, through our tongue, the real issue is it reveals what's in the heart, doesn't it? The things that come out of our mouth reveal what is in the heart. And what is in the heart is what needs to be addressed. I remember as a child, maybe more than once, my mouth washed out with soap. You always hoped that Mom bought the best tasting soap, right? But having my mouth washed out because of the things that came out of my mouth. But when the real issue was the things that were in my heart, because that's what came out of my mouth. If those things are coming out of my mouth, it's because they are darkening my heart. And I need to address my heart and not my tongue. By addressing my heart, I will address my tongue. Do we want to control our tongues? Do we want to have control over those things that are part of our witness? If we do, we need to address the heart. We need to remove the darkness out of our heart. Because a heart that is filled with darkness will always pour out poison. It'll always spit out ugliness and darkness. But we see in the scripture that it's addressed here. Romans 3, 13th and 14th verses says their throat is an open grave. They use their tongues to deceive. The venom of asps is under their lips. Their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. What is your mouth full of? What is your heart full of that is pouring out through your mouth? Is it curses and bitterness? One thing that I've seen many times over the years where prayer request becomes a gossip. Instead of stating a prayer request, we begin to give too much information. And what we are doing is destroying with our tongue. We need to control our tongue with our heart. Our heart needs to be the bridle. It needs to be the bit, the rudder. But people will see us and who we love by what comes out of our mouths. In Psalm 12, verses 3 and 4, it says, may the Lord cut off all flattering lips, the tongue that makes great boasts, those who say, with our tongue we will prevail. Our lips are with us. Who is master over us? Or Psalm 73, verses 8 and 9. They scoff and they speak with malice. Lofty, they threaten opposition and oppression. They set their mouths against the heavens and their tongues struts through the earth. We need not to be that. Another Psalm, 120, verses 2 to 4. Deliver me, O Lord, from lying lips, from a deceitful tongue. What shall be given to you, and what shall be done to you, you deceitful tongue? A warrior's sharp arrows with glowing coals of the broom tree. We have got to bridle the tongue. We've got to cut it back, because how can we honor God with our tongue when we are speaking curses upon people? What we do with our tongue is we destroy instead of honor. And we see that in this next section, this third section, second part of 5 and verse 6. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body and setting on fire the entire course of life and set on fire by hell. These things in our heart that come pouring out of our mouth, where do they come from? From hell, don't they? They are a fire. And I wanted to take a few minutes to talk about the fire. The greatest fire in history was a fire in 1910. 3 million acres were burnt off in that fire. They call it the Great Fire of 1910. It was started by an ember from a locomotive. How big is an ember? Yeah, pretty small. It's pretty small. A few years ago, our church members, Don and Loy, their house caught on fire. and it burnt a great deal of their house down. And from that fire, what started that fire was from the burning of trash, one little ember floated over to the cedar siding, and pretty soon the whole house was aflame. These little things we say with our tongue start huge fires. Your tongue is there to be used to build up, but so often we use it to tear down. The tongue can destroy and leave scars. We had the fire in the church's kitchen in 2013. We spent over $100,000 getting it all put back together, getting it all cleaned up. Yet, if you go into the kitchen and even into the dining room, which did not get fire but smoke, you can still find in corners and you can still find in different places, you can find on some of the appliances, burn and scorch marks. You can find smoke destruction. There's still some of the old wax that's up under some of the counters in the kitchen that is full of smoke. All these years later, the scars of the fire are still there. The fire that we set with our tongue causes scars. As I've sat in my office and counseled, I've had many, many people say to me something along these lines. I am bothered by the things that my parents said when I was a child. And they list them sometimes. I once had someone tell me that they would rather be beaten than cursed. Because bruises go away, but the words stay forever. When we start a fire with our tongues, we are creating destruction and leaving scars that will last forever. These scars begin to change how a person lives and what they do. Are you encouraging and building people up or tearing them down with the fire of the tongue? Fire leaves lasting damage. We must go forward in encouragement. All of us have made the mistake of using our tongue wrongly, but we must go forward using it properly. Some dangerous ways that we use our tongue: lying, blasphemy, gossip, slander, destructive speech, negativity, discouragement, abusive speech, bragging, inappropriate flirting with someone who is not your spouse, manipulation, false teaching, exaggeration, complaining, murmuring, lustful speech, crude joking. These are all ways that we use our tongue to create a fire. These are all ways that someone has caught a fire in your life with their tongue. God's going to hold us accountable. He's going to hold us accountable for the way we speak to our family. He's going to hold us accountable for the gossip that we speak with our brothers and sisters in Christ, or about our brothers and sisters in Christ. He's going to hold us accountable for slander against our leaders at church, at home, at work. He's going to hold us accountable for putting down church members because they're not like you. He's going to hold us accountable for being negative towards our spouses and our children. He's going to hold us accountable for flirting with someone who we are not married to. He's going to hold us accountable for speaking down to waitresses and cashiers and employees. He's going to hold us accountable for not having compassion in the way we speak to those whom we disagree. You know, that one's huge today, isn't it? I sat with a man this week, and we had a discussion that was a great disagreement about how some things have been handled in our state with all the COVID-19 things. And when we got done discussing that, he said, I appreciate that you and I can have this discussion and we can disagree so much and still be friends. Brothers and sisters, that's how it should be. We're going to be held accountable for those things that we say. Our tongue is a great danger. And James calls it a world of unrighteousness. So much unrighteousness comes from those things that we say and do. How are we going to live? How are we going to change it? Brothers and sisters, it comes and it changes by being surrendered to Christ. When we are surrendered to Christ, it's a lot harder for those things to come out. When we are truly surrendered to Christ and He fills our heart and he fills our soul, and he fills our thinking, and he fills all that we are, our very soul, then there isn't room for the darkness. And when he fills us, it will be him that pours out. It will be him that we speak. Brothers and sisters, I want the Lord Jesus Christ to be seen in what I say and do. Without any hesitation, I say there was a time when my tongue was quite sharp. Without any hesitation, I say there was a time when I destroyed with my tongue often. I don't want to do that. Not only does it tear down the people that you speak to, but it tears down you. For the rest of my life, many of those things that I said that I shouldn't have will come to my memory. I will have to live with the ghosts of the fire and destruction and scars that I caused in people. Just as you do. Back to where we started. Those words that come flying out of our mouth when we don't want them to. It isn't a net or a filter that we need. It's Jesus Christ. We need Jesus Christ to lead us and to guide us in all that we say. And the only way that that can happen is when we completely surrender. As long as we are holding on to a little bit of our will, our way, those things are going to be there. We have to let go of us. The Bible says that we have to die of ourselves. We have to die of ourselves and live to Christ. I pray, I beg God to allow me to do that and to allow you to do that. That not only would we stop causing fires, not only would we stop causing damage, but that we would also lift up and encourage and make much of Christ with those things that come out of our mouth into the ears and the hearing of. Please stand with me. In Proverbs 16, verse 27, it says, "A worthless man plots evil, and his speech is like a scorching fire." Oh, Father, Lord, I thank you for your grace that cleanses even me. Father, I thank you for your grace that allows us to be forgiven, to have our sins removed from as far as the east is from the west. And I ask you, Lord, I beg you, Lord, that those who I have hurt with my words would be comforted by your grace. I ask you, Lord, that you would grow me, that you would grow my brothers and sisters who hear this message, that we would use our tongues, we would use our mouths because of what's in our heart to bring glory and honor to your name and not destruction to our brothers and sisters. When we do and say those things that tear people down and we profess with our mouth that we belong to you, we chase people from you. Oh Lord, let us draw them because of your Spirit upon us. And let us, by your grace, quench those fires that have been started and pour mercy and grace and love into all we come in contact with for your honor and your glory. And we know, Lord, that that starts with salvation. So, Lord, I pray salvation for those who hear, that you would move them, that you would save them. In the name of Christ Jesus, I pray. Amen.
The preceding message was delivered by Pastor Jim at Lighthouse Baptist Church in St. George. For more information, you can look them up at www.lighthousesbc.org.